for our story of the day, Robert Kelly. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Wallace.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good.
Are you back into your jeans?
Well, I never left them. I've been denim and belt pants all the way through. There was a small number. Well, I worked through most of the lockdown because we're an essential service. And there were quite a few of us very much observing the rules and the spirit of the levels, which we're still doing. But I've been in office for most of the time. So I find these conversations quite interesting because they kind of passed me by.
They sure did.
So like the elasticated pants thing, I mean, I think maybe I'm due, you know. My time has now come, but that's quite all right.
Well, you can get elastic jeans. Maybe more on that later when we discuss it. That could be something for you, Robert. All right, what are we discussing?
Well, today's been an interesting news day for the media, and I'm sorry to keep going on about it in the media, but there's an angle to this which I thought we should pull out. So this morning, the announcement of Nine selling stuff, bits of stuff, to Sinead Boucher for a dollar brings a big part of New Zealand media back into New Zealand ownership. Today is also the anniversary of the first ever publication of The Press.
Oh.
Which was the Christchurch, well, still is the Christchurch paper, one of the Christchurch papers. And I thought we should look at the kind of the history of its ownership, because it's interesting to see all of these independent New Zealand papers from the 19th century, and now some of them are going back to New Zealand ownership after kind of 100 years.
And we will be discussing this too later also. Back in the day when newspapers were indeed king.
Yes. So The Press is a really interesting newspaper because it's set up basically as a grudge. So James Fitzgerald, who runs it, becomes very frustrated. He's a politician in New Zealand at the time, and it's very much not unusual for politicians to open newspapers. There were a lot more newspapers at the time, and people kind of accepted that they would have a political bent. And so he set the newspaper up because he opposed several things that were happening in the Christchurch region, and he was from Littleton, and he was furious about the tunnel. So mainly the paper was set up to try and attack that. It was a two times a week publication, then eventually three, and then five. It was sixpence when it first came out, which was very expensive, really, for what it was, and it was quickly brought down to a penny and became a much bigger paper and became very popular throughout the 1860s and through the late 19th century.
Incredible. So really started from a political grudge.
Yeah, I mean, that's not unusual. There are a lot of newspapers that are born out of anger. There's a really interesting letter from May 1861. Oh, sorry, his name's not... Yeah, James Edward Fitzgerald. And he's furious. He's so angry. And he writes this letter to a friend of his, Dean Jacobs. "My dear Jacobs, I want your regular assistance for my new paper, The Press, to appear immediately. You must give me an article weekly on some pleasing literary topic, review of books, education, schools, and the inspection of schools. It will do you good and us all good if you will help. We mean, please God, to have the first paper in the colony and to elevate and vindicate the press." Now, it's not the first paper at all. He says to his friend, "You must help regularly and vigorously. It will bore you at first and become a rest and a luxury to you in a short time." And I think that's a wonderful way to kind of describe a job in the media.
It kind of reminds me of did you ever see Deadwood? Eli, have you seen Deadwood?
No, I hadn't seen Deadwood, actually. Sorry.
No, it's a really good series, but a person comes into town, a very wealthy proprietor. Is it Hearst who starts up a newspaper? Or am I getting that right? But anyway, a newspaper started up and, again, born of those sort of little sort of quarrels. Interesting, though, isn't it? Olivia, I can recall growing up, spent many formative years in Dunedin and really growing up with that local paper, the Otago Daily Times. What paper did you grow up with?
Oh, my God, it would be the Sydney Morning Herald in Sydney. Yep. Yep, an interesting piece, and one that I would read sometimes and one that I would choose not to read at times too.
Yeah.
So the papers that we all grew up with are survivors, because there was this huge boom in the 19th century. So when The Press comes out, there are 19 papers in New Zealand, to my knowledge, to my best guess. And then 10 years later, there are over 39 in 1872. But by 1900, there are over 75 newspapers in New Zealand, for a population of 815,000 people. So the ratio of newspaper to reader is really high, and that's why they were so partisan. And as slowly they start to die away, they become less partisan. And this modern idea that we have of media having to be impartial and being a kind of an observer rather than a participator is very much a modern idea, not based in how newspapers in New Zealand operated historically at all. And you still see that in Australia and in the UK, but you don't really see it here because not as many papers survived.
No. If my memory serves me correctly, Robert, some regions used to have, in towns and cities, used to have a morning and an evening paper.
Yep, and, afternoon paper sometimes.
And an afternoon paper.
The Wairarapa had kind of four or five newspapers at one point that were all serving that region. And that was where that tradition of local news really came from, that idea that everything should be covered and interrogated, because what's local is what matters to the people who live there. And that kind of disappeared as the papers started to.
Robert Kelly, good on you. The history of the papers, thank you very much for that.